Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, and reading verses 19 to 26. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up, and the clouds dropped down the dew. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so there will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down, and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. For the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, in speaking to his disciples, claimed that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. Wisdom makes the same claim. Only through following the way of wisdom will one navigate this life in peace and be led to life eternal. What parent does not want to teach and guide their children to live in such a way that they will have a peaceful life and be assured of eternal life? Wisdom cries out to the young and the old to heed her call so that they will not be led astray to failure and destruction, but rather experience the abundant life through peace and obedience to God. The world around us seeks to distract us, to chase our dreams, to secure success, wealth, and fame. But alas, it is an empty promise. For life that ignores the wisdom of God is doomed to foolishness and a fatal end, both in this life and in eternity. We steer our children away from drugs, from alcoholism, from immorality, from criminality, gangs, because we want them to avoid the pain and the suffering they bring. But we pay little attention to the fact that without God, they have no hope. They can be the most educated, the most healthy, the most successful. But without the Lord Jesus Christ, they have no hope. As parents, we need to be careful that we do not substitute God's wisdom with our own plans. We need to guide our children to know and obey the wisdom of God for themselves, not just because we tell them, but because they understand it, because they've become wise unto salvation. But of course, wisdom addresses not just children, but all people. You may have embraced what you thought was the best way, but it is not the way of wisdom, the wisdom of God. Wisdom does not ignore you as though you are set in your ways, but calls you to give up that path and follow her, and she will lead you in the way everlasting. The thief on the cross abandoned his way at the very end of his life. His life that led him to death and awaiting eternal death. But the last minute change, the last minute recognition of the wisdom of God embodied in the Lord Jesus Christ before his very eyes, he makes peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And his life is salvaged. For that day, he entered paradise. Now, it's not too late for anyone if we will hear wisdom's voice as she cries out to us. The Bible contains wisdom for us that we need to devote ourselves to and follow her. But how do we recognize this wisdom? Well, first of all, speaking about the portfolio of wisdom. I mean, that's the way it is, isn't it? We go somewhere for a job, and then we show them our work so that they will see the skills that we have and hire us. But in a sense, that's what this book is doing. It's laying out for us the wisdom of God. I mean, it would only be a fool that looks at this wisdom and then goes back to the wisdom of this world. To see how wonderful the wisdom of God is, and then to turn our backs upon it. It is only through unbelief that we do that. So the credentials of wisdom are tied up with the identification of it with the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 30 speaks to us about this connection. It says, Jesus became to us the wisdom of God and the righteousness and sanctification and redemption. It's all tied up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that word that became flesh and dwelt among us. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And again in Colossians chapter 2 verse 3, in whom, that is speaking about Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. As Jesus said, all scripture speaks about and points to him. And this certainly includes all the wisdom section of the Bible. Wisdom is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. It is not that we are commending some concept about life for our youth to follow, but rather we are calling you to follow and obey the Lord Jesus, the Savior from our sins and our Good Shepherd. We're not pushing some philosophy of life, but rather declaring to you your Creator and God, who has come to redeem us from sin, bring us eternal life, as opposed to our current path of disobedience that will surely bring us eternal death. Would you want to trust men or Christ, the wisdom of God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? Let us be clear. Christ is calling us to abandon our sinful life and sinful direction and follow him. The credential that we have given before us in the opening verses is the fact that he is a creator of the heavens and the earth. I mean, what more proof do we need in terms of his trustworthiness, in terms of his ability, his understanding, his knowledge? Imagine somebody opening up their portfolio and showing you the whole universe and said, I did that. I created that. Out of nothing, I created that. I mean, what company is not going to hire you on the spot and hand over the whole reins of the company into your hands? Because you are so overqualified, we might say, to put it mildly. But that's exactly what this passage does. And Jeremiah 10 verse 12 states, he made the earth by his power. He established the world by his wisdom. And Psalm 104 verse 24 declares, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you made them all. And of course, Psalm 104 goes to great lengths over this whole topic. And Job chapter 26 verse 7 teaches, he stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. I mean, words that just blow the mind. This tremendously heavy globe, he hangs on nothing. There it sits in the universe. Who would come up with that? What human, or the whole world put together? Who would be able to do that? Not one of us. Of course, we have Genesis chapter 1 and verses 14 to 19. What an amazing truth that is. God speaks and it comes into being. I mean, what scientist is going to look at that? What scientist is going to analyze that? Let there be light, and there was light. Every statement that God makes, it happens. And of course, the world tries to dull that. The world tries to reject it. The world tries to substitute it for a lie. And they've been doing it all along. And they can't stand the fact that God would create in such a way, because they can't understand that. And so they come up with their theories, and they pressure churches and pressure people that believe in this wonderful truth of God. And they're really calling God a liar, that the scriptures are lying. It didn't happen that way. That these are just parables. That these are just myths, as it were, just to give some explanation of all that we see around us. Just like all the other nations of the world. They have their myths, they have their creation stories, and this is just one of them. We have to be careful that we don't give in to that. That we don't bow before man's theories and deny the clear teaching of the scriptures. It's not just in one part of the scriptures. It's in all part of the scriptures. The Ten Commandments is not a myth, is it? It's not a myth. But yet it clearly states that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, in the span of 6 days, and rested on the seventh. That's no poetry. And yet even in the churches, it's a lamentable thing that even in the churches, people subscribe still to evolution. And you think, how ridiculous that is. I mean, what is it about the world? What commends us to the wisdom of this world that we would set the Bible aside and reinterpret it so that it fits their interpretation? It makes mockery of the scriptures and the infallibility of the scriptures. No, the scriptures over and over again teach that God created the heavens and the earth and sustains them by the power of his hands. That's his wisdom. That's his knowledge. That's the skills that he has. That's the power that he has. And we're going to turn around and listen to the world in terms of what to believe and how to behave? I mean, what such madness is that we would do that? I mean, what credentials does the world offer us? I mean, what successes are they bringing before us so that we would be inclined to listen to them? I mean, have they organized their lives in a wonderful and harmonious way? Everywhere we look, there's failure. Everywhere we look, there's destruction. The so-called enlightened nations of the world. Are we envious of them? Have they accomplished great things? Well, certainly they've done many things as they learn about God's creation and they learn about the processes that God has embedded in this creation and has led them to do many things and utilize them. But wisdom? Wisdom? Now, in terms of that, humanity is a big failure. What generation hasn't known wars and atrocities? And even, as I say, in our present time, do we have unity? Have we learned to get along? Are we moral? Are we righteous? Are we just in our societies? We're not. Those are the credentials of worldly wisdom. If you want to experience those things, then you follow the wisdom of this world. But if that is a detestable thing to you, if that makes you lament and vexes your soul, then there is that wisdom from God. And that's what's being done here. And that, you remember, was the way that God spoke sense into Job. Job, take a breath. Think a little bit. my righteous servant, and you come to this? You want to challenge my credentials? You want to ask me questions? You want to point things out to me? Well, what does he do with Job? Doesn't he turn him to the universe? Doesn't he ask him questions about the vast universe around him and ask him whether he knows these things, he understands those things, let alone control them? And Job realized his error. And he said, I should have put my hand over my mouth. Because as it is, I put my foot in it. And I shouldn't have. And he humbled himself before God. No, people of God, the world around us, the whole creation around us, echoes wisdom in saying, listen to God, follow God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He does everything right. He has the power to control all things and to run our lives, even as he runs creation. Even though it is tainted by sin, even though it's subject to futility, yet it is marvelous in our eyes. I mean, that's God's work. So wonderful it is that even though we've polluted it by our sin, nevertheless, we travel hundreds and thousands of miles because of the beauty of God's creation. That should commend us to God's wisdom, to God himself. To listen to him every day as you see creation. You should take comfort in the fact that we are his workmanship, created in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will take care of us, even as he takes care of the creation every day. But even beyond that, I mean, you might think, well, wait a minute, beyond that, where are we going to go now? Wisdom is commended, not only organizing our lives, but redeeming us. If creation is part of his portfolio, then as you turn the page, you see the cross. You see the great redemptive work of God in saving people. Of not sparing his own only begotten son, but giving him up for us, to redeem us. He transforms sinners to saints, wretched people that we are, doomed to eternal hell itself. God transforms and brings about a new creation. So there's kind of a connection between these parts of the portfolio of God's creation, what he did. And you remember how he started. It was all without form. It was all dark. It was all chaotic. And into that chaos, God spoke, let there be light, and organized it. Well, he can do and has done exactly that for each and every one. In our sinful and dark and wicked hearts that are out of control, that chase their own dreams, God says, let there be light. Let there be faith. It isn't something that you create. It's not something that we work out. It's not something that we analyze and come to that result. No, it is something that God imparts to us. Let there be faith. He opens our hearts. He enlightens our minds. So that now we see the Lord Jesus Christ and we embrace him. And say, my Lord and my God. And not just pass on by, as so many did. He has given us a new heart. Who would have thought? Who would have thought that was possible? Can a leopard change his spots? Can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? No, these things don't happen. Redemption would not have happened. Given a million years and a billion years, it would never have happened. But God, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has transformed us and our lives from disobedience to obedience and holiness. Instead of enmity with God, now we enjoy peace through being reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. As we read further about how this was accomplished, as I said, we are totally blown away. Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Lest we think the wisdom is trying to get something from us, we see that the wisdom of God sacrificed his own son so that we could be forgiven our sins and be reconciled to God and be his children and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. You think the world doesn't have an ulterior motive in promoting certain ideas? It's not because they love us so much. It's because they love some concepts that they've come up with. And so they want us to help them, or rather to force us to help them to reach those ends. But that is not the way of the wisdom of God. No, God doesn't need anything from us. He doesn't need anything from you. He has given everything for your salvation. Creation and salvation are his glorious credentials. And yet the world in its blindness follows the devil, who has nothing to show. He has absolutely nothing to show. He's the one that has brought this chaos. He's the one that's brought death into the lives of people and futility to the creation. Everything he touches is spoiled. What one thing can he point to commend himself to the world? Absolutely nothing. He leads them to become children of wrath and disobedience. And yet, he has them eating out of his hands. If anything highlights the foolishness of this world, even as Romans says, thinking they were wise, they became fools. And the devil leads them around without any sword or any gun. He has them so tricked that they think they're free, and yet they're in bondage to him. But if the credentials of God's wisdom commend themselves to us, and we see that, then what is the path that wisdom is calling us to follow? What direction is wisdom calling us? Well, it's calling us to God's word. In response to Thomas's question about the way that Jesus commended them to in John 14, because he said he was going to his Father and they know the way, and they said, well, Lord, you know, actually we don't. What way is that? And Jesus told them that he was the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And the Lord Jesus Christ promised the Holy Spirit, whom he would send, that he would lead them into all truth, in John 16, verse 13. It is the Holy Spirit, both in the Old and the New Testament, that moved holy men of God to write those things that he reveals to them, in 1 Peter 1. The scripture, then, is the word of God, which is profitable for us in every way, so that we are fully equipped, as Paul says in Timothy, for every good work, and indeed for life itself. People become annoyed with those that ignore instructions and construct their own way. Well, then let us understand that we make a much graver mistake when we ignore God's word, his instructions for life, and follow our own ideas and ways. My son, says the Lord, let not wisdom and discretion depart from you, for they will be life to your soul. Life to your soul. Not just for the body, not just for this world, but for eternity. Letting them depart means do not ignore them or forget God's word. Do not trust yourself or worldly wisdom that you hear, but always ask, what does the Lord say? You remember the kings of Israel and Judah? So often they had their false prophets that would echo whatever they wanted to hear. And And people knew it. Kings knew it. And they would say, but don't you have the prophet of God? Well, what is this guy? Well, they understood where that was coming from. It wasn't coming from the Lord. Everyone knew that they were saying what the kings wanted to hear. But they wanted to hear what God had to say. And of course, when they brought his servants out, they were rejected anyway. No, it is the path of life that God lays out for us. It will be life to your soul. Not just bless us in this life, but life for the soul. The rich fool was rich in the things of this life, but a fool relative to the care for his soul. His soul was unprepared, and that night of boasting would end with his soul being brought face to face with God and be totally unprepared and thus face eternal condemnation. People are fooled by Satan as they seem to enjoy life on earth. They think this is successful. They think everything is going well. What's all this thing about wisdom? I can manage it myself. I'm being successful. But little do they know that they are highly unstable and in a very dangerous place, even as Psalm 73 puts it. The rich man was doomed, even though he lived a luxurious life, while the poor man lay at his gates. But their souls were in totally different places. This is what Proverbs and the rest of the Bible stresses. Do not be fooled by the ways of Satan and sinners that promise much but deliver only sin, misery, and death. Wisdom, on the other hand, assures that we will be led to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Though we might have to suffer and even walk through valleys of the shadow of death, yet we will be brought out safely. We will never be lost. We will never be disappointed in following wisdom. Grace will be the hallmark of our life. Grace and truth will mark our way. You know, this is the path of stability. The path of sin is marked with dangers to our very soul. Its ways are characterized by destruction and misery. The way of peace is alien to them. They enjoy inflicting harm to others and chasing their own pleasures, as Romans 3 makes clear. How careful we must be of not deviating from the path of wisdom, like the psalmist who says he almost stumbled in Psalm 73. No, Psalm 1 warns against following those that do not walk in the path of wisdom. Those that walk in sin are certain of doom. You will surely die. But the way of peace is a path of blessing and eternal stability. And finally, these verses speak of the protection of wisdom. We have peace in sleep. Nowhere is this truth made clear than in Psalm 91 that we read. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We will be kept by the power of God in the day, in that day. And in the night, we will sleep. Here is a psalm that speaks eloquently of peace that passes all understanding because it comes from God. In this life, what do you want to experience? Are we going to continue a life that is filled with fear? Because that's what the world is living. A life filled with fear because they don't have answers to this world and its struggles. But look at Peter sleeping. You know where he is? He's in jail. He's not assured of the next day. He didn't know whether he would be put to death like James or he would live. How does a person sleep like that? I mean, how do you sleep when you don't know whether you're going to be killed tomorrow? And there you are in prison. And yet it says he was asleep. In fact, he was very safe And the angel came, the angel of the Lord, and stood beside him. I mean, the amazing thing is the angel had to wake him up. I mean, talk about deep sleep. The angel had to wake him up, shake him, I would imagine, and wake him up, and he didn't know whether he was dreaming. And he is delivered, and the doors open by themselves, and he's brought out into the open, and finally it dawns on him that he's no longer in prison. I mean, talk about dwelling in safety. As I said, Paul speaks about this peace that passes all understanding, that enables us to rejoice always. People of God, do you sleep in peace? I mean, when you go to sleep each night, is your heart at rest? Is your mind at rest? Are you assured that you are in the hands of God? And as the children's song says, that if we would not wake up the next morning, that we know that the Lord will take us to himself. You know, any believer that dies never regrets that act. When they enter heaven, they're not looking back to earth. They're not saying, oh no, that time ran out. No one does that. I mean, we don't know that experientially, of course, ourselves. But I can assure you that that is the case. They are looking and just overwhelmed as they enter heaven. Overwhelmed as they are embraced in God's everlasting arms. No, yes, we are sad. But they have not been robbed of their peace. Is filled beyond what we can understand. As Paul says, should I stay or should I go? I mean, it's a no-brainer, he said. I'd rather depart and be with the Lord. But for your sakes, I'm prepared to stay and face death all day long in the preaching of the gospel. The wisdom of God will so lead us that we will always be at peace with God and under his constant care, so that we will be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall never be in want, because he fully supplies all my needs. The world lives in fear of what life might bring, and we have it every day. Doomsday scenarios that the world continues to promote every day, and blaming us as well, that we're the ones that are causing it. That's not our outlook. No, we sleep in peace. As I mentioned that song, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray to God my soul to take. If I should live for other days, I pray the Lord to guide my ways. Christ, by his salvation and care, grants us peace that casts out all fear, for we love God and are loved by him. He is our only comfort in life and in death. But we have peace in life too. When we speak of the peace of God for a believer, we are not suggesting that he will not face terrors and persecution. We're not saying that life is going to be a bed of roses. No, Christians face all kinds of struggles, even as we mentioned in our congregational prayer. Psalm 73 makes that very clear, as does, as I say, our own experiences. History shows believers are targeted, but also they suffer from the common sufferings that attend life in this fallen world. However, the Christian does not live in fear of what life will bring. As we say, we do not know what the future holds, but we do know who who holds the future. Our catechism, relating God the Creator to our life and providence in general, teaches that this is supposed to be our outlook, that we are to be patient when things go against us, thankful when things go well, and for the future, we can have good confidence in our faithful God and Father that nothing will separate us from His love. All creatures are so completely in His hand that without His will, they can neither move nor be moved. The Lord will be our confidence and will keep your foot from being caught in the trap. As Psalm 91 teaches, though there are dangers and snares and perilous pestilence, He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings we will take refuge. No, the love of God toward us casts out all fears. As the songwriter puts it, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We make so many provisions for our life and comfort. We take out all kinds of insurance to guarantee our goods, our health, and retirement needs, even needs in the time of death. Why would we ignore this full and free coverage from the Almighty God that has no small print, that negates coverage at any time? And there are no premiums. Wisdom calls each of us to trust in the Lord and embrace His truth and wisdom that leads us to the cross and the life of obedience and faith. There is no other way to true peace. Seek the gospel with all your mind and heart and strength. It is the only way that will lead you to a life of peace with God and a life of blessedness for this life and eternity. May the Lord open our eyes to see Him who is the wisdom and the power of God. May the Lord grant us faith to trust Him in life and in death. Let us abandon our path of death and destruction, and let us walk the way of peace, following our Savior who laid down His life that we might have abundant life and eternal joy in heaven with Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You have given to us and revealed to us how it is that we are to live before You, to be at peace, to be reconciled, to know You as our Father who watches over us in every way. And our Father, then we pray that You would indeed help us to humble ourselves before You, to enjoy that comfort that You afford through Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and to commit ourselves to Your ways, the ways of peace and the way of life. Father, then we pray for our children, we pray for our grandchildren, we pray our friends and relatives. Open their eyes. Deliver them on this life of misery and death so that they may enjoy that life of comfort, of obedience, of service to You. Our Father in heaven, hear our prayers and bless us on our way, for we pray these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 380.